the Elite Life Podcast. With your hosts, Tricia and Kylie. Here, we guide you on a journey of personal and professional transformation. Revealing the secrets to success. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, join us as we unlock the doors to the elite world of growth, grit, and grace. So, let's dive in.
Welcome, 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 friends, to another episode of the Elite Life Podcast. We are so glad you joined us today. My name's Trish.
I'm Kylie, and today we have a guest who has built, scaled, sold, pivoted, and rebuilt, and he's still going, so this is going to be a powerful episode.
Absolutely. Joining us is Sean Terry, a husband, a dad, an entrepreneur who's worn lots of hats. He's built a successful insurance company, sold it, gotten online sales, moved into real estate, worked at a foundation company, and now he's launching a brand new insurance company. Welcome, Sean.
Thanks, ladies. Excited to be here.
Yeah.
So basically, he's proof that reinvention is possible. We are lost in our outline. Okay, we're gonna just start at the beginning, like we always do.
Start at the top. Take us through your journey. How'd you go from building your first insurance company to where you are today? Or you can even start at the beginning. Who were you as a child? Wherever you want to start.
What influenced you?
So, I was a young homeowner, and I walked into my State Farm that I had my home insurance through, and at that time, I was with Aflac, so they offered me a job there. I had a job. I was kind of like, I don't really need this. But it's one of the best things I did. Being a professional, young, and working in an office setting, it just made a ton of sense. So, you know, from there, I would go on to be like the number one producer at that office. But that office was one of the number one producers in the state, right? Ooh. So it was something to where I just figured, you know, what would I want if I was a customer, and being met with, you know, speed, quality, being met with somebody who really would make sure that they were getting the best possible price, be authentic, give them that coverage. That ended up being a recipe for success. So I ended up doing a lot of things to where I had so many referrals and partners and a network of people helping, reaching out to me, helping their customers, whether it was a dealership needing to move a car or realtor, and they just so happen to have a buyer get an offer accepted, they need home insurance, and just built those professional relationships.
What do you think was really crucial in helping you build those relationships? Because you got a lot of options when it comes to insurance. So why do you think people kept choosing you?
Because I'm annoying. No.
Consistent. We like to say persistent. Persistent.
No, honestly, so a lot of times people didn't know me, and you gotta kind of find out who's going to be receptive to you, right? So I could call a dealership, I could meet with a sales manager, I could say, hey, would you like me to come by, bring your guys, you know, some lunch or whatever, introduce myself, let your guys know how I can help them, how I can be a better service to them. A lot of times, if you're going to sell a car, you're open till 7 or 9 at night, insurance offices close at 5. I let them know, hey, you can call me at 7 at night, I'll answer, right? So how can I add value? How can I differentiate? So that really is the thing, is working with people that are going to be receptive to you, and then figuring out what can you do for them that maybe somebody else can't.
Yeah, I love that. We were talking about that in another episode, just adding value and making sure that people know who you are, what you do, and what you can do for them, setting their expectations. Yeah. I love that.
So we mentioned at the beginning that you kind of have pivoted through a couple different lanes, if you will. What kind of kept you going, and what made you kind of jump from here to there to here to there? Was it just like curiosity about something new or learning new skills to add to your arsenal? What kind of drove you through those different paths?
Yeah. I don't think you could ever predict life's journey. So when I was at State Farm, I was really happy. I thought I'd be a State Farm agent. And the time came for that, and I was in the approved pool. They wanted me to be a State Farm agent, places that were an hour from home. Mm. Given that I might be in the office till 7 at night, I can't then have an hour-long drive, especially with small kids at home, family. So I think that, you know, at that time with State Farm, I was open to being an agent, but when you are at that company and you work for an agency already, and that agency, maybe you're a key piece of that agency, they can be a little slow to move. So it was other opportunities further away, not in this immediate area, I think, that that they were more likely giving me the interviews and maybe wanting to bring me on board. And so I lived in Livonia. I really wanted to be a Livonia agent. If that wasn't going to be possible, I wanted to see, hey, what are the other opportunities out there? Because you're never wrong for looking, right? And so as I look, I saw that with the Allstate opportunity, it was kind of like Pepsi versus Coke. I can be blue instead of red, right? So moving in from there, you know, I was confident in skill set. I knew that I could make it work. So I started to kind of pursue that opportunity more. But when it comes to opening an agency, you know, it's a scary thing. Honestly, going from State Farm to Allstate, it was really different. State Farm, I could do more of the dealerships. I could help other people. With Allstate, they had such a narrow window of who they wanted you to sign as a customer that a lot of my professional contacts, I couldn't help anymore. Mm. And so I had to figure out everything from scratch.
Mm. How did that work out? Like when people would reach out to you and you went to that new office and you were like, hey man, I'm kind of stuck in this narrow niche.
So you have to find a way to be successful again. That's how it worked out. I couldn't help people that had called me for years, right? Because yeah. They just weren't competitive on the price. And there's nothing I can do about that. Mm-hmm. That's the system. That's the challenge. Okay, what's going to be my solution? Where is Allstate competitive? Turns out they're really competitive when it came to homeowners. So maybe buying more homeowners leads and focusing less on the dealership business. And so anything I could do, really community too as well, like mailers for the local community, having a location. Like I was Middle Belt and Joy Road in Livonia. That's an area where you have to stop. It's almost perfect, right? When you think a telegraph or a busier road, you fly by it. That's a place that has a traffic light. It's in the middle where you're kind of, you know, not far from where Westland meets Garden City, and everybody kind of knows that area. So focusing on that local footprint helped. I partnered with pizza places and left flyers and did everything that I could.
I like that. I like that you weren't afraid to keep pivoting. What you just said, you have to learn how to be successful again. And I think that's so crucial because people, when they get knocked down or they hit those walls or they're in the trough of sorrow, a lot of people, like, their default is quit, right? Like, okay, well, this just isn't going to work. And instead of saying, well, this just isn't going to work, you said, how can I make this work? How can I work this out? So kind of jumping back to, like, you know, being a husband, being a dad, being an entrepreneur, what's really been your anchor and kept you grounded throughout all of these different transitions and things?
Just, I think, knowing where I want to be and what the end goals are. You know, for me, it was always, I'm going to, you know, do this to where I'm making a certain amount of money, to where my family has certain things that are true, that I'm not worried about how a bill is going to be paid. I'm going to be able to provide. We're not going to have to worry about driving old cars, right? I don't want a jet one day or something. I don't have lofty aspirations like that. I think it's just a lot more grounded, being able to help a family member if they need something, if they're, you know, needing something to where, like my aunt, for instance, you know, she needed help moving from one home to the other. I was in a position to where I could help her with that, right? So for me, I think that we're only here for so long. Our relationships are what matters to us, our family, our close friends, just making sure that you're in a position to where you don't have to worry about not being able to help somebody else or let the immediate people that depend on you down, right?
Yeah, that's great. That's so
true.
That's
a big why. Very deep why. I feel that. I'm in the same boat. But I've got the three kids at home and the stupid dog and the husband. And I come to a place sometimes where I'm like, why am I doing this? It's either inconsistent or I'm frustrated. And just being able to lean back on that, like, this is my family. This is why I'm here, is to take care of these people. Because I also think, like, about my parents too, right? Like, I'm, quote unquote, the only child. And so I got to take care of them one day. Like you just said, your relationships are what matter most.
Yeah. And, you know, my family in particular, I was always the most successful one, right? So if I'm not that pillar or that strength, then there's not a backup. So that makes failure not an option, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel that in my family too. It's like, you're the one that they're looking up to. So you don't have, you can't crumble. You don't get that opportunity. What was that? I think it was Andy's Monday motivation call where he was like, leaders don't get days off. Like, right. You don't get the opportunity. Like, you can take a hot second to be upset about X, Y, Z, but it's a second. It's not, right. Oh, I'm going to wallow in this, or I'm going to spend the next 3 months like, oh, you know, whatever, whatever. It's just not an option. And I like that you have that non-negotiable mentality, because I'm big on like the non-negotiables. Like, this is not a negotiation. It's not a negotiation if I'm working out this week. It's not a negotiation if I'm eating healthy. It's, this is who I am and this is what I do.
Well, and that's fair too, right? Because certain things, they might be for negotiation, but certain things they probably shouldn't be. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shouldn't be. They shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we like to share with our listeners some, it actually says non-negotiable habits, non-negotiable habits that you rely on to like stay focused, stay sharp, stay professional, stay committed to this life that you have built.
To keep it together.
Yeah.
So what are habits is the question?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think I always start my day with whatever business needs to be done. Different people will have different methods. Some people start it with reading, whatever else. If I have free time later in the day, then I do, right? For me, I'm such an adamant person about replying really promptly to text, emails, returning a phone call, whatever it is that has to be done. It's like I can't move on until I've responded to somebody. So tours, everybody's different, like I say, but I've had it to where I've seen somebody, you know, their email, there's 2,000 unread emails or something. Like I couldn't exist in that world.
No.
I would click on compulsively one at a time until they were all read or all responded to. So I think being in that type of habit, and then, you know, for me, free time comes after whatever duties are done. So in the sense of a lot of people, the different personality types, last minute or procrastinating. Nope. If I can get it done weeks, days, a month ahead, I need it done. Mm-hmm. I don't want to worry about it later. It's too easy to forget. It's too easy for that to cost something or for some, you know, accountable mishap to happen because you weren't on top of something. So really just being focused and driven as far as trying to check everything off my list. So I can't predict what life's going to throw on my list, but I know what's already on my list. So having that at zero, I think helps when something unforeseen happens too.
Yeah. Do you have like a specific morning or evening routine that you like to follow?
No, it's not so much when it comes to the evening. I mean, I guess family related I do. In the work world, I'm just kind of getting up and going about my day. When it comes to like a morning routine, I might wake up if I'm going to go down to my Bowflex or the gym for a little bit. I mean, that might be how I'm starting my day, you know, getting dressed for the day, whatever. I might have a radio or some podcast or something on as I'm kind of getting ready for the day. But beyond that, it's work. And then whenever the work day's done, it's evening with the kids. I love to at least have a couple hours with them before bed, especially at their ages, and just being able to watch something or read with them or whatever else. And then probably after that, I'm picking the laptop back up if I need to that day. So,
yeah, being an entrepreneur and growing your business, are there some like resources you found are really, really helpful? Like I live and die by my Google Calendar, like a certain CRM you love or calendar. Like how do you stay organized and build and scale?
Yeah, a lot of the work we do is in Salesforce, so that's just great because you can always set reminders. But beyond that, my Google Calendar, you know, if you just have your alarm, that can go off at a certain time, but it doesn't tell you any details you might need about the event, or it's not per se going off the day before. So I really like calendar reminders, especially just to make sure that even if it's a concert or something recreationally, like I want maybe a week's notice. I want maybe the day before's notice. So I like to customize that however I see fit.
Same. Yeah. I put stuff on the calendar and like, especially if it has something to do with something I'm not usually doing, like the kids' conferences, those only come like once a quarter or whatever. I will do the same thing. I'll put like a reminder to email myself like a week ahead of time and then 2 days ahead of time. because I used to be that parent that was like, oh, well, today I was supposed to go to a conference, but I did not do that.
I know, right? I tell my wife all the time, I was like, you know, if it's not on the calendar, we don't know for sure that we're going to remember it or be notified by it. And that's honestly the biggest thing for something as simple as that even, you know?
Yeah.
I really wonder how I used to function without a calendar.
I couldn't even imagine
today, because like now I can tell you what I'm doing next month, next year. Like there's stuff that I have on like next year and the year after and stuff. But also I can't tell you right now without looking at my calendar what I'm doing tomorrow. Like each morning I wake up and I just follow the plan. And so it's like it's mind boggling to me like how people can actually function in life without doing that.
We used to.
I think before we just had a long sheet of paper.
That's true.
And there was a lot of things on it. And then maybe early on we emailed ourselves or did something archaic like that. But
yeah, it's crazy to think about now.
Well, I think too, like our lives have shifted so much from that place where, you know, when I did have a 9-to-5, I knew what I was doing all day. I didn't have to put that on the calendar.
Yeah.
You know, I knew I was waking up, I was getting the girls ready, I was dropping them off, and I was going to work. And then I was going to work for 8 hours. I was going to come home and I was going to cook dinner. But now with being, you know, with being my own business owner, I truly, that's what nightmares are made out of. My Google Calendar won't work.
Yeah. So not all of our listeners are entrepreneurs. Some of them are just regular people. So let's shift and talk a little bit about insurance in general. So if somebody is like, why should I call Sean? Or what does that process look like with Sean if I'm looking to get some insurance? Maybe walk us through and like tell them a little bit about that.
So when it comes to insurance, you know, you might say, what's the difference between all the companies? So AAA, it has a larger footprint, but they really handle claims well. I personally had a home fire, and AAA was my carrier at the time. The process couldn't have been smoother. They couldn't have gone out of their way more. So I've always had deep respect for that. So when it comes to opening a AAA office, you know, it makes a lot of sense to me. If you say, you know, why would I want them as a company? Well, aside from auto, home, life, the roadside, the credit cards, you know, they have all these different products. Some companies, they don't have the roadside aspect or they don't have a credit card aspect. You actually get 4% back when you open a credit card and pay for your insurance. So, I mean, that could be a couple hundred dollars instantly back if you have, say, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 that you paid off for the year for your insurance. So calling Sean, calling our office specifically. So we're always open late. I have no problem being at an office till 6 or 7 at night, and I plan to be. The other thing is the honesty aspect. If for some reason what you have is better, that's great. I would let you know. But a lot of times people don't realize what they have. They don't realize that, you know, hey, I don't have to have a 500 comp. I could have glass included to where I pay zero for a windshield breaking and then 500 comp or 1,000 comp if it's a theft, right? So kind of having coverages explained, knowing what you're getting and buying. And then AAA just tends to be really competitive, not to, you know, speak ill of any competitor, but a lot of companies, they close maybe 1 out of 10 or, you know, at a 10% or so rate. AAA is in the mid-20s. So AAA is trying to grow. They're trying to expand. They're trying to bring on new agents to new areas like Fenton and Heartland and Brighton and any city or town where there isn't one. So knowing that they're in a growth mode, there's a lot of companies right now that are trying to kind of shelter in place. Like, let's keep the existing business I have, but we really don't want to grow because we've had losses or we're not profitable. So there's a lot of reasons specifically for AAA and features of the product itself. I can't tell you how many people are mad now because once upon a time they had a $500 or $1,000 home deductible, but now the carrier makes them choose a 1% deductible or a 2% deductible. If they're valuing your home, let's just say at $500,000 or $400,000, that 1% deductible, that could be $4,000 or $5,000. AAA still lets you choose a $1,000 deductible.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. So, again, the product itself, the features of the product, these are the things that you don't know unless you find somebody that is honest and can educate you and have those conversations. The biggest thing with me is I always want to be a fair and honest arbiter of information. I've always hated if I've been told something wrong or I didn't understand something. I've always gone out of my way to make sure I'm giving somebody the right information. So, you know, it doesn't matter. In life, I think relationships, right? I could have a great conversation with somebody, didn't save them money, but now their sister's calling me because they appreciated that conversation and I saved her money. So for me, it's not always about transactional, right? I don't always have to gain or profit from the conversation that we had today, but will you be more educated even if you stay with your current insurance or want to make a change to that, even if I didn't save you money? So there's always going to be value in that conversation. That's the thing I could probably say is that I'm going to steer somebody in the right direction and they're going to get value from the interaction that we had.
I like that.
I've already got knowledge just now because, like, I don't even know what the deductible is on our insurance. And now I'm like, if I have a fire and I had to pay, like, because my house, like, the rebuild is like $1.3 million. I'm like, you got 13 grand just chilling around to just, you know, especially after a fire, like, you're devastated. You're using all your money to, like, stay in a hotel or whatever. And if you don't know, like, I have AAA, but I don't know anything about anything on it.
And I like what you said about, like, you know, educating people.
Yeah.
Because most people, the person we have for insurance, it's a family friend, and I just trust her. And I'm like, hey, here's what I need. Don't, like, just make it work. And I love that you come from a heart of service where you're trying to explain to people, like, here's what we do. Here's what this means. Because that's me. Mm-hmm. I'm constantly like, what does this mean? What is this for? Can we make this lower? Can we do this? And I think that, you know, that is what makes you a good business person. And that, like you said, is I might talk to Sharon and maybe I can't exactly save her money, but like her daughter or her son-in-law or somebody else is going to come to me when they need, you know, insurance on their car or their new home or whatever it is. And that goes a long, long way.
Well, and the reality is, you know, all insurance companies are going to be different for different people. If you have a family and it's here's mom, here's my sister, here's my brother, here's my uncle, here's grandparents, they could all be with different companies. And it could be something about, you know, it's no secret that when you price insurance, you know, if Progressive had a terrible claims experience in 48186, but they had a great experience in 48187, they might be giving that zip code a different rate. So based upon where you live, based upon your own insurance history, your credit, these are all factors, right? So I think that, yeah, just because that I can't get mom and mom's been with State Farm for 20 years, but I spoke with mom, State Farm, not a great price for, you know, her son or her daughter, but they're going to be referred to me and I'm going to be a great price for them. So, you know, that's what I mean. We're here to always help each other. We're here to figure out, you know, have I built some value for somebody else? And I know we, as entrepreneurs, we sometimes get on soapboxes and things, but the reality is if you do good and you're trying to help people, everything else falls in line.
Amen.
So amen. True. So true.
It is.
And back to the knowledge part too. Another thing, with having somebody like you, like the car that I just swapped out, my BMW. So the windshield on that thing was $1,500. And I was like, I had insurance that covered my windshield. So that's how I learned it was $1,500. Then I got new insurance. And I'm like, well, does this cover windshields? Because where we used to live, we had four windshields hit by rocks because we were off Grand River and there was like all kinds of semis over there. And we were always getting our windshields broken. And I was like, hey, does our new insurance cover windshields? And they're like, the guy was like, no. And I'm like, well, how much is it to add it on? And he's like, $26. I'm like, add it on. Like, $26. Like, I'm not trying to save that $26. I don't want to have to pay that much for a windshield. For sure. Right? Knowing that I've already replaced one on my car. But like, I had to go ask that question, seek that out, instead of him being like, hey, you know, your car is a really expensive car. You might want this coverage. It's not included in this new policy that I got you, right? So are you really saving money? And are you saving money in the right spots? Like, that's important too, because I think a lot of times people just go for the cheapest insurance. Mm-hmm. And so having somebody like you that's going to have that conversation with, hey, yeah, this is $26 more. But if you get in this situation that you've been in three times, and I know that because I've been your insurance person, like, you probably would rather pay the $26.
Yeah, for sure.
What you said really, it captures the heart of what I always want to achieve. Like, in office, I've always trained people, let's have certain standards, right? There's certain things we're going to quote as a standard. and then we're going to explain to the customer and then let them choose. The worst thing that could ever happen is for me to ever get a call and somebody says, well, I didn't know that, or nobody explained it to me. So it's literally been my life's mission to make sure that that kind of an event never happens. And that's caring about details and really caring that you know your stuff and you explain your stuff well is everything. It's everything in the real estate world. It's everything in the insurance world. In your professional settings, information is power. No customer is the expert. Unless they have a background in that industry or did it themselves, they're relying on you for the proper information, for the correct advice, or the correct counsel. So anytime we're in these professional relationships, we have a great responsibility to do right by that customer and educate ourselves to make sure that they have the education, and don't take for granted that people know something. You know, if you know what I'm going to say, cool. Now I don't have to say it, or I can minimize it, right? I could truncate it or something. But in the meantime, I'm going to assume that you need the education. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that. We were always talking about like the buyer's council. We were talking about that today. I had some clients and they just went on Zillow and they got some dude named Paul. And
you are bashing the life out of poor Paul today.
Yeah. And they're like, they're having to send him houses. And so I did a buyer's education session with them and they're like, we didn't know any of this, you know, and that education is everything. And I like that you said we have a professional duty to do that, because that is true. And I think that too many people don't take that seriously, that you do have it, like you are getting paid, like you need to do this, is your job,
right? And I think too, like I like what you said about, you know, oh, if you already know what I'm gonna say, great. I tell, because I talk to people all the time, obviously buyers, and I'm like, well, let's sit down for a strategy session where I walk you through the process, I explain everything that's gonna happen. And then you have that guy who's like, oh, I've bought and sold 10 houses, 20 houses in my lifetime. I'm like, that's great, Carl. I'm so excited that you're coming into this with some experience, but there might have been some things that changed, or there might be some things that maybe you didn't experience before. I just, whether it's your first house or your 50th house, I walk through this with every single one of my clients. Are you available Thursday at 5?
Yeah. Yeah. And having processes and procedures, like you were saying, like you guys have specific standards and processes and procedures in your office. And that's so crucial and vital.
I love it.
Yeah, because when you have those, nobody can say, I didn't know that. Because that you, then you can say, well, I always go this way, so I know that you did know that.
Remember at the buyer consultation when we talked about XYZ?
Yeah. And you mentioned reading, so kind of shifting gears. What books or podcasts do you really think, like, shaped your mindset?
So early on, I read like a lot of marketing books, Marketing Outrageously, just thinking different, thinking outside of the box.
Did you know that over 80% of real estate agents call it quits within their first year in the business? It's a staggering statistic. But at mystarsacademy.com, we're here to change that narrative. Our expert-based training and coaching program caters to both agents and brokers. The Agent Accelerator Program is your key to leveling up your real estate business. Learn how to generate a constant flow of free leads, convert those leads into loyal clients, and keep them coming back for more as repeat business. Our industry experts bring years of proven success to the table and provide one-on-one coaching to help you achieve structure and work-life balance. We'll map out a plan for you to follow, guiding you through the steps to scale and grow both in your business and personal life. Don't become another statistic. Visit mystarsacademy.com and enroll today to pave the way for your future success.
So you guys might have heard that if you spend $13 or so a day, is it 13 and some odd change, that's $5,000 a year that you wasted, right? If it's on stuff that you don't need. So always thinking in that kind of a mindset of, you know, where can I save money? Do I need all the bells and whistles when it comes to A, B, and C? Whether it's a restaurant or a fast food, you know, what you're even ordering from there. Any way you can save money, build money for the household. I've said to myself, do I need 1,000 gig internet at home, or am I fine with 600 megabytes? You know, for my purposes. So I've always looked and sought in those directions. And then when it comes to you know, books, podcasters, I've listened to Tony Robbins. I listen to a lot of the stuff from Elite. They give valuable lessons, right? Mm-hmm. Everything they're doing is just a new way of trying things, a new outlook, establishing patterns, being successful, going on and on about different parts of the process and performing it. So I don't really think that there's any, you know, anybody that wants to be self-educated, business professional, entrepreneur, I don't think there's a bad direction that you can look. You know, I can't think of that many books or YouTube channels that I've come across and they give really terrible advice, right? For the most part, somebody's probably sharing because they were successful in some shape, way, or form, and they're sharing what they know about how to be successful or that piece. So the more you kind of absorb the different pieces and put them together, the more successful that you are.
I love that. We were doing an episode one time. It was like top 15 books you got to read or something. 12 books you got
to
read. 12
books to a better you.
And there were some books that I liked, some books that I didn't like. But what I did say was true is exactly what you said. You can always pull something that's going to help you out of each book, whether you love it or you hate it. Something in there is gonna resonate with you. And even like because I listen to so many audibles driving around in the car, sometimes I'll listen to one that I already listened to and I'm like, oh yeah, but you'll find something new the second time you listen or the second time you read. Like I reread David Goggins' Never Finished twice. I read it twice and it was interesting. It was almost like reading it again the second time because you're in a different space in your life or a different mindset or things of that nature. And I think that's super helpful.
Yeah, I mean, even a movie that you liked or watched when you were 16 and you watched it at 25 and you watched it at 36, it's a different experience every time. And the same thing is true with professional development. You'll always find value in a different chapter or it's true even with our children, right? Like there's times to where what we're saying doesn't mean anything to them yet, but now it does because it's 2 years later. Now we get that lesson, they get that lesson. So for sure.
Yeah. It's funny when you bring in children because it made me think of when we did Trent's podcast and there were so many things that he said that I was like, oh my gosh, you have been listening. You've been listening this whole time. Listen to this. Like, uh-huh. I was so impressed by so many things that he said. And I'm like, oh, wow. Like, because I'll leave on like Grant Cardone in the car, or, like my audibles or my books. And all these years they've been listening to them and they've actually been listening to them. And I'm like, oh, dang. Okay.
I did good. Put one in the win column.
Yeah, for sure.
So do you ever read anything that is just for you, like not development wise?
If it's sports, maybe. Okay. I can't understand how sports would really be developing me in any way. But I think a lot of what I read is just business related. And even if it's not per se professional development for me, I've always had an interest in tech and stocks and what's happening in the world and what's the future. AI, you know, that's a big thing now. But there's nothing really new happening with AI that wasn't happening a few years ago. It's just now that everybody's talking about it and so they're starting to see it in place now, right? So you can, if you're into the companies and what they're doing and working on, you can kind of look and see, 5 years, 10 years, I understand that this might have a place in the world and what that might look like. So I guess that would be the answer.
Okay.
Yeah. So kind of shifting gears again, you know, you've led teams and sold products and we talked about handling clients. What does great leadership mean to you?
So the answer to that even I think has changed over the years because great leadership to me when I was young, when I was in my 20s, when I was first opening an insurance agency, it meant teaching people to do things exactly how I do them. Mm. And within a short time, I think I learned that people really need to find their own space, their own voice, their own process. Not ever that I wanted to micromanage, but as somebody who called people, as somebody who would be on a phone, like I'd know when a person was being lost or you should say a different thing. So I think now really something I learned on the journey with you too is just meeting people where they're at. That's powerful. That's really, really important.
It is.
You know, as I'm looking at candidates now and people to bring into the insurance agency, everybody's at a different spot in life. Mm-hmm. There's a mom. She can work these hours. Does that fit? Can I work with that? Is that what I want? No, I would love for everybody to work these specific hours and be physical. Yet at the same time, I think of my own wife and she needed to be remote for a while or at least hybrid or something. And so I say to myself, you know, can I be that for somebody? Can I offer that too? Does it make sense to do it? Especially if it's somebody that seems like they'd be great for the position. You know, mm-hmm. they have the experience or you know, the professional network, whatever it is that might bring value. So I think leadership now is just listening. And leadership now is how can I help you be successful? You know, if there's something that I see that I can help with it that you need, fine. But otherwise, probably you could be telling me, you know, and if you don't know, then we'll figure it out together. But so I think, you know, as I'm looking at who I'm hiring and things now, it's people that maybe don't need the professional development, but they appreciate it because we can all always learn. We can all always be educated or grow in that sense. But I don't think that as an employer, you should ever look at people as you know, any kind of like a project or something that you have to make fit into a certain way. I think it's how do we bring the value out of what already exists with that person, you know, and how do we have this be something that they want to do for the rest of their life, to grow with, to find valuable. It's crazy because it's weird, right? I've talked with other agents, and it's something that I've done in any insurance company that I worked with, is speak with other agents who are successful and have long-term established businesses. And some of them don't offer health insurance, and I get it, you know, but my first time around, my first insurance agency, that's something that I tried to do, and the way that it made sense for me, because without being overly complex, there could be group plans, there could be participation requirements, there could be a lot of barriers to entry in doing that. Yet at the same time, I came up with, you know what, if you find anything on the marketplace, you know, I'll pay 50% of that, or I'll pay 60% of that. So if you want a really expensive plan with a low deductible, I'm helping with that. If you're just out for the basics, then I'm helping with that. So that's something that's come up recently, is I interviewed somebody and they ask, you know, do you offer that, or can you? And it's like, yeah, I'll work with you on that. You know, mm-hmm. and for some candidates, nope, I got it through my wife, I'm good, I wouldn't need that. But you know what? 401k, I just had an interview and they have 6% matching. Do you have a 401k? Will you have a 401k? Those kinds of things. So I'm really open to having conversations with people and figuring out kind of what's important to them. And, you know, if I have great faith in their ability to perform, then I want to figure out, how do I attract that talent? How do I then retain that talent? How do I grow with that talent? As any business owner will tell you, it doesn't matter whether you pay people $40,000 or $50,000 or $60,000 a year. If they're a good person and they've been with you for some years, and all of a sudden they need to leave because they're going to make $5,000 somewhere else, the cost of finding a person like that again and training them again and having them be that key piece of your organization, I can't even put a dollar amount on that, but it's right. It's for sure a lot more than $5,000 or $10,000. And so I think, you know, as I'm saying, who am I starting day one with, and what do I want to be true in 3 years or 5 years? It's really figuring out how to not lose people. Mm-hmm. Turnover is the killer of every business. Interviewing even agents that maybe when I was first starting at Allstate, and they were somebody that said, oh, talk to him, he's great, he's got 6 or 7 staff, he does all this business. 2 years later, he's down to no staff. He's answering the phones there himself, has to hire all new people. That's not a story I've heard once. That's a story that continues to repeat itself across any industry and any businesses. Turnover, and what kind of flexibility can we have? What kind of partnerships can we reach? You know, how can I be in tune to where somebody wants to go and be that support and be that kind of life partner in their journey, right? So I'm thinking in leadership of those terms now.
Yeah, I love that. You said a lot of great things there. And one thing that really stood out to me was looking for great people, not just people. And that's a lesson that I've had to learn over and over again, because one thing that's true in real estate is the old way of just let me get as many licenses as possible and hopefully somebody shakes out, you end up with so many more problems. And so I have really adopted this mentality of like, I will coach you, I will correct you, and then I will cut you. Because if you don't, then that people don't quit jobs, they quit people. Mm-hmm. Right? They don't want to be with that leader anymore. And I think that what you said, like meeting people where they are and asking them, what does success look like to you? Mm-hmm. And that's a question that I have really embraced over the last 5 years of coming and saying, and now even to the point where when you start coaching with me, Kylie will tell you, when agents come in, I actually have an intake sheet for them to fill out that says, what does success look like to you? How many hours do you have to devote to this? Because me and Andy had that conversation so many times where we had to realize, like, these people aren't going to be like us, right? Because our why or our motivation or our ambition or our lives look very different. And over time, even his life and my life started to look very different, right? Like, so now my kids are grown and they're out of the house, but he still has to go pick up Aiden from hockey. Mm-hmm. So success to him now is I need to leave at 3 o'clock. Whereas mm-hmm. before we'd be grinding till 9 p.m. and that would be okay. But if somebody is unhappy because you're trying to make them grind to 7 p.m. or 9 p.m., and you think it's what's best for them because then they're going to make all this money. But making all this money isn't what's success to them right now. What's success to them right now is having a happy marriage and picking their kid up from school. So I love that, you know, that I think that that thought process changing will just continue to, you know, make you a better leader and find the good people. Because there is turnover, but when that turnover is people that no longer fit your culture, your organization, that's good turnover because it's making space for better people.
Yeah. If I can't be a fit for somebody, then I can't. You know, you hear professional people, whether it's a lead company, that's what people say now. Are we a good fit? Mm-hmm. And that's true for an employer employee. That's true for an office. That's true for a culture. The only thing I can do is be a better listener. Every year, every day, I want to be a better listener. I would rate myself as a very good listener now, but there's people that they speak and I really like their approach. You're one of them. I've always appreciated when you put a thought together. I've always appreciated your insights into people. You're very warm. I'm warmer inside than I project. For whatever reason, I don't project natural warmth and always the charisma that I would like to. Yet at the same time, like, by asking a question or by how carefully you're responding, you give people the impression that you do have a warmth or you do have a care, or you are trying to culture something within them. So for me personally, I think checking in is important, you know, and that's part of what I mean by the listening aspect, because people are not going to come to you and tell you their problems on a daily basis, especially if they don't feel like you're somebody that they can share that with. You know, if you're mm-hmm. stiff and stuffy boss, or your person who wanted everybody to come in at 12 or, you know, attend this meeting. I've always appreciated that you're very casual, might not be the right word, but relaxed is probably the right word, you know, in the sense of if somebody can attend a training, if somebody can jump on this, you're always hosting it. You're always there for that development. If you said that I'm going to reach out just semi-annually to somebody or annually and see, hey, has your plan changed in life or something like that? You know, so I think having that kind of approach is really treating people like adults and treating them like people. You know, we all have a different idea of what work is when we're 18 and we're going to Burger King or whatever, right? That day, right? As adults, as professionals, as acknowledging that, hey, this isn't just, you know, Sarah who comes in and works for me. This is Sarah who's a wife, who's a mother, who has her own goals, who needs to be validated, who needs everything that she needs in life and might also need to leave it for every day. Mm-hmm. You know, can I be that for this person? And if you are, you find that people tend to be loyal. You mentioned people leaving people. That's so true. Nobody wants to leave their job. Nobody wants to move on. If they're doing it, it's for a reason. Sometimes it could just be the money, and that can either be something that you can resolve or you could not. Sometimes it could be the value, you know, if you're not having that training, you're not having that development. But a lot of times it's just that people have not reached an understanding with each other. And that's something that we can probably all do better on at any time. And that's where I'm trying to go now as far as letting that be my governing vision. So
Well, thank you for those kind words on me being open, because there was a point in time where TJ and Andy came to me and were like, people are scared of you. And I was like, okay, I'm going to work on that.
Well, I was floored when he called you relaxed. Holy smokes.
But that's the thing. Like, as a leader, you also have to be coachable and open to that, those comments, right? Like, I had to learn to, when somebody walks in my office, put my phone down, move my chair out, so, because I do care. I do want to listen. I do want to know what's going on, you know. But you also have to be projecting that out, right. And you have to be coachable, and you have to be learning how to adjust. So I really appreciate all of your time that you've spent with us and things like that. We're going to do a couple fun questions. But before we do that, because we always forget this part too, if people want to find you, Sean, they want to get some insurance, they want to chat these things, how do they find you?
The Terry Agency in Brighton. You can Google. That should be up probably by the time this airs. And we can maybe leave a link in some chat or comment or something. But the AAA Terry Agency in Brighton. We're going to be there every day answering the phones bright and early till late at night. So
he's there till 7, friends. Yeah. We'll leave all your info in the show notes as well. Kylie, you want to go with some of your fun questions?
Oh, what's a good one? I like the villain question. Who is your favorite villain and why? It can be any, it could be from a book, movie, comic book.
Probably Magneto from the comics, from the X-Men stuff.
Okay, that's a new one we haven't heard.
Well, I'm a big comic nerd, so that's fair. But when it comes to like the X-Men, you have this guy who's like the Martin Luther King trying to bring people together in Charles Xavier. And then you have more like the radical Malcolm X kind of approach and Magneto. And so I always like those themes of one side wanting to integrate people peacefully and make there be acceptance, and the other just kind of wanting to take over, because it's such a realistic human trait. You can totally see that if the approach you're trying is not working, yet you have the power to just force that change, could you resist that temptation, right? So
that's a good one.
That's a good one. If you could go back and tell 15-year-old you something, what advice would you give 15-year-old you?
Learn to smile sooner. I think a lot of my early professional development was just me being inside my own head and just walking and going about my tasks without hi and greeting and being that kind of personable, warm person, and probably just limiting social media. Don't think you're funny when you're not. Be supportive. Don't try to tease somebody a little or whatever else. I mean, these are the things that, you know, when you talk about being a teenager, like we all suffer from that. Yeah. Immaturity and that judgment. But you realize as time goes on, it's a conversation I have with my own son, like, as cool as you want to be or you think you might be, if you were kind, you'd be getting where you want to be so much more and so much faster and so much easier. Because that's, if we look back, we just wish that we would have known more kind people who were willing to have that conversation or help us out in life. So
that's so true. Mm-hmm. Kindness is free. Sprinkle it everywhere.
Yeah, it takes zero effort to be kind.
Yeah,
it does.
If you could go anywhere in the entire world right now, where would you go?
Probably Italy.
Italy? Why?
Just everything about it. The culture, the history, Rome.
The warmth.
The Colosseum. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the art, right? Just
the history.
Yeah. I'm really big into that. As far as personal reading goes, if I was reading something on the Greeks or the Romans, and I mean, they built like the biggest, strongest civilizations. If you're not counting Asian empires and things as well, but in that time, like 3,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, you had philosophers and, you know, Aristotle and Plato and all these names that are still relevant were probably these little 5'4" men in Greece.
Yeah.
Who wore robes all the time, right? But there's just so much history to it, and not to mention the food, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Let's not forget the food.
I have like 10 books on Rome in my office if you'd like them. There's nothing I'm going to do with them anymore now that I've graduated.
I always appreciate that, because I think it's so important when it comes to looking at human history, like to see where we've been to understand where we're going. There's very rarely anything new. You know, sure, technology continues to evolve, but we're all humans. We're all the same humans that we were. We all have the same, you know, lizard brains and things like that. We might be a smidge more civilized here and there. But overall, like, we've been humans forever, and just seeing how human behavior has played out over, you know, the past helps us really plan better for the future.
Yeah. There's one more question that I just seen, and I really like this question, so I want to ask it. If your kids could only remember one thing about how you lived your life, what would you want it to be?
That I did my best to always do right by people, and that I worked hard. That's all.
That's good.
It's a good one.
Yeah. All right. Take us home, Kylie.
She's going to cry. thank you so much for joining us today. This was a great conversation. I hope all you listeners enjoyed it as well. Make sure you sub the show and share with a friend, and make sure you come back next week because we drop fresh content every Thursday here on The Elite Life.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us today on The Elite Life Podcast with Trish and Kylie. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend so we can keep delivering you more fantastic insights on grit, grace, and growth. Stay connected with us on Instagram and Facebook, where we'll keep the ideas flowing to help you build a life you love and leave a legacy you can be proud of. Until next time.